Devin and Morgana have been celebrating midlife love by getting married 100 times in 100 countries. They believe grown-up love gets better and more fun, especially for women. Everyone's smarter, wiser. Men are more relationship-ready. And if they're not, it's obvious. Forget anything you were told about being too old or too late for love and adventure. Instead, get fresh new tips on dating, relating, and travel to exotic destinations. And best of all, call in for personal guidance, creating crazy, sexy midlife love in your life.
Well, hello and happy St. Patrick's Day. We are wearing our green uniforms. I want to check with our producer to make sure that the speakers are just us and then next our guest. So in honor of St. Patrick's Day, welcome to Crazy Sexy Midlife Love. I wanted to ask my husband, who has a bit of what the gift of the Blarney.
I think genetically I'm like 35%, if that means anything.
And
I have kissed the Blarney Stone.
Of course you have.
Which, by the way, this is where, if you were to go to Blarney Castle, there is a 90-year-old man who is happy to hold you upside down and really down the side of this castle that's 100 feet up in the air, and will allow you to kiss the Blarney Stone, which was, for me, utterly terrifying. And no, I didn't trust that old man to support my weight up in the air, but that's how it went. So is that proof?
Well,
is
no.
This storytelling on my part proof?
No, what is the biggest tall tale that you told in our relationship?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I haven't a clue. I did make up when we were on our second date. Mm-hmm. I made up a whole lot of things about astrophysics and the planets, because we went to, where did we go? We went to the planetarium.
The Griffith Park Observatory.
Right. And which was a fun sort of thing, I think. Very romantic second date. And I think I just made up every not truthful thing about astrophysics that I could think of.
Oh.
Feeling fairly confident that you weren't somebody who was into, what's the term?
Science?
That's right. Little did I know.
I'm a national merit scholar in math and science, and my grandfather is a JPL rocket scientist.
But however, not astrophysics.
Well,
and I
was
telling something not true about something very specific.
I know, but what was so fun was it was so obviously not true, but you sold it so well.
That's I think you have to have a measure of commitment. You have to be willing to just go after it.
That was the moment, and it's terrifying to say this, but your lie is kind of what sealed the deal, and that was the moment I thought you were really cute.
Well, I'm glad I pulled it off. I don't even remember what I said, but I know that what I know most importantly is that it was absolutely fundamentally not true.
And obviously so. Yeah, I think it had to do with stars. I noticed for the first time that some stars are yellow and some stars are a little more green in shade or white.
Right.
You know, they're different colored. I hadn't really seen that. And you explained why.
I'm sure that I did. And it has a lot to do with the crystallization and the pressure of the universe in the same way a diamond is formed under thousands of years pressure. The same kind of things happens to a star when the universe is
yeah,
expanding. So it's sort of the opposite effect.
Thank you.
All right.
So you heard it here.
You heard it here first.
Absolutely.
By anybody in the history of the world.
Yeah. So my grand lie was that I claimed to be 39 on my dating profile when I was 45.
Yes. And then you, I think the first words out of your mouth were, that was a lie, but I'm here to,
I'm
it's
really
okay.
45.
it's really fine. It's okay that I said that.
No, I just, I said, I it wasn't. It was like, it was really uncomfortable. So my real age is, which was 45 at that time.
Right.
Because it just was too uncomfortable. I wanted to be in like the right searches, but I also couldn't carry that, the weight of that lie.
Well, you had me fooled. And so that's really all.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know. It worked, right?
It worked. So here we are, wearing green, wearing green on St. Patrick's Day, talking about tall
lying.
Tales.
Yeah.
It's not, though. It's okay. Not. It's storytelling. And in fairness to the Irish people, I've heard some of the I've had some of the best conversations. Honestly, the best conversations I've had in Ireland. But so anyway, that's
well, I'm part Irish too, and so you know I love the culture, and I picked you.
Right.
Look at this
look
poem,
at this,
this
poem.
Irish poem.
Right. All right. So.
So today's episode, we're going to have as our guest one of my favorite people in the world. I just love her. I'll talk more about her in a few minutes, but she's an energy worker. So we're going to be talking about energy blocks and the cool things that happen when you remove the inner blocks. You've got outer obstacles and you've got inner obstacles. This is what coaches do. I've been really kind of on a tirade and a rant for a couple of weeks about bad coaches who tell you to do stuff that isn't really even helpful. That's not coaching. But setting that aside, I was doing energy work on myself this morning for a few hours. And well, that's interesting, but I start choking as I talk about it. But the coolest thing happened is when I was done, just looking at certain protective barriers that I built around myself, especially like after my father's death, and then when I could feel things shifting before COVID arrived, I just felt like it wasn't the time to be expanding in my business. It was really just a time to cocoon. So I built up a lot of like energetic shields for safety, and I want to bring them down because I'm feeling way more positive and optimistic and safe in the world with, you know, just new administration. We're seeing, you know, the incredible mobilization of vaccination and all that kind of stuff. So I was like, okay, it's time to like open myself up again. And I really should have brought some water. So
do you want me to get you some water?
Can you get me some water? Thank you. So I'm just kind of doing this energy work on myself. And when I'm done, I check my phone that I turned off, and I had a message from my doctor inviting me to get my first dose of the vaccine Saturday. My Fauci ouchie, you know, that I've been, you know, so jealous of, but also joyful for all my family and friends who've been getting it. And I really thought that because I stay home a lot, that I was going to be like, you know, end of the line, May 1st, whenever. And I want to get out and start traveling with Devin ASAP. So that was just such a fun little surprise demonstration of when you do inner work, and it may not even appear to be related, just how instantly sometimes outer things change. It's like I'm like telling the universe that I want to travel again. I'm ready to go out there and lead retreats. I just booked a bunch of rooms in San Miguel for my next Money Goddess retreat. And I'm kind of letting the universe know that I'm open for business again. And I'm creating things again that excite me. And I really didn't see like any possibility of getting the shot so soon. So now we have to maneuver to get Devin the shot, so that we can go on a trip together, because we are really far behind on getting married, right? Yes. I know. I'm paying attention. And for those of you who aren't in the know, Devin and I have a project of getting married 100 times in 100 countries. And before the shutdown, we had our 25th wedding in Lisbon in October 2019, and it's been a really long dry spell without any weddings. I'm wondering where I stand in this relationship. Like, are we solid? And so I think we just need to hit the road and start getting married again.
I'm in.
Okay. I thought you would be, since it was your idea. So that is my like little energy work preamble before introducing our guest, Jen Poulsen. So I love Jen. To be on this show, it's like really we're picking the people we love and we admire. Jen Poulsen is the creator of A Year of Miracles, and she's been helping coaches and entrepreneurs for over a decade with their most important work, their inner work. Jen helps her clients recognize and release the hidden beliefs creating self-doubt, overwhelm, and sabotaging success. Her unique method creates quick results as she combines her psychology background and her intuitive energy work. And we will post links to Jen in the show notes, but you can find her on Instagram at Jen Poulsen, just spelled like she is in the show, and you'll see her name when we bring her into the room. And also visit her website at jenpoulsen.com. And as a side note, when I first met Jen, and I think this was 2016, or no, 2015 at my house first, talking about doing retreats. And then the next year she came with me on my retreat to Bali, but she was already a six-figure coach. She was already taking multi-level marketing clients to seven figures over and over again, doing the inner energy work. And one of the really coolest things about Jen, you can tell I'm a mega fan, is that her style of coaching and energy work is so gentle. Some coaches are painful and abusive, or not abusive, but very stretchy or like pointy, sharp edges. And Jen gets these results with such an ambiance of gentleness, kindness, love, and safety. So it's actually super duper yummy. And I am going to entreat Jen to like guide all of us through some sort of like energy block removal exercise of her choice during the show so that you can experience her directly. And let's bring Jen into the room right now. Hello.
Hey guys, thanks for
Hi.
having me. And that amazing intro. Oh my gosh. I'm
Thanks.
over here like almost crying.
No, that was amazing. That was an amazing introduction. It's good to see you.
It's so great to see you guys. I love you both so much.
So we were chatting before the show went live, and you had some very exciting news besides the grandchildren, which is super duper exciting. But you mentioned that you may be going on a romantic adventure soon.
A romantic adventure with our soon to be 16-year-old with us.
Oh,
We'll be married. No, it's going to be great. We're thinking about going over to Europe and living for several months and just having a big adventure. So we're excited.
Well, the 16-year-old will probably look back on it fondly.
I was 16 when I first went to Europe with my parents, and I had a very romantic adventure.
And when I was 16, I did a road trip across the country with my family, and it was horrible. It was horrible.
Oh, that's so funny.
If your 16-year-old is a daughter, keep her on a tight leash.
Yeah, we'll do that.
Okay,
Definitely.
good. Yeah.
Right. Going to Italy. Yeah, no, make sure
In
you keep
Italy,
keep an
especially
eye
Italy.
peeled.
Definitely.
So here you are, very successful in business, happily married, a mother of a bunch of incredibly well-adjusted children and now grandma, even though you look about 25. And you've had your own healing journey.
Absolutely.
You know, people look at you now and you're happy and you have all these tools, but this isn't how you started. Would you like to share a little bit about your journey?
Sure. Thank you. I grew up in a strong Christian family, did all the church things. I still do all the church things. But the way that the parenting worked was a lot of, there's a lot of fear-based stuff. Fear of, being good enough and trying to keep up I'm just going to leave it at that. There is a lot of fear motivating the parenting. And so, as I was thinking about this conversation we were going to have today, I was thinking about, how I've gone from, just feeling insecure and even feeling insecure as an adult woman in college. I had a lot of great experiences and great people in my life over the years that helped me see myself, in a way that you can't hear it from parents. As I ventured into getting married and having kids, I realized that I still had these insecurities. I still, carried anger and frustration, and I couldn't figure out how to let it go. And probably why I decided to major in psychology, to try and figure myself out, figure my family out.
I'm sure you're the only one who ever majored in psychology for those reasons.
Right? And don't get me wrong, on the outside, our family looked amazing. On the inside, it wasn't bad. It was just just some fear stuff going on. And so there wasn't any kind of abuse or anything like that, but it did, it did have an effect on me. And so as I went through college and I started understanding a little bit about behavior, and then in one of my college classes, I had to go to therapy for a semester every week. And I thought, great, I'll work on my self-esteem. What girl doesn't need to work on her self-esteem, right? And the experience was not great for me. I would go every week to the counselor and I would tell him, what stuff I was struggling with, and he'd ask me questions, and then I'd go back the next week and talk about the same stuff. And it always felt like I was throwing up emotionally and put it out on the table. And then at the end of the hour, I had to pick it all back up and take it home with me again. And I realized I don't want to give this experience to someone. So I decided not to go on and be a therapist, because that's all I knew, and I'm not saying therapy does not have its place. I think it does. But what I realized years later was that most talk therapy is just dealing with the conscious brain. And we have this whole subconscious brain that, is dictating 95% of what's going on in our lives. And I luckily had a friend, I think I had probably two kids, maybe pregnant with my third, and I must have been telling her my family drama again, right? And she just had the courage one day to say, "Jen, you need to go talk to my friend." And she actually called her energy lady, and this was 20 years ago. And that freaked me out. I was like, what? What are you into? I just thought that was the weirdest thing she could ever say. And I went right home and told my husband, I don't know if I can be friends with her anymore. And I explained to him what she had told me. And he said, "I'm going to go." And that really caught my attention. I think that was a God thing, you know, so that I could like be open to it. And he went to the energy lady, scrounged up the money because we did not have a lot of money then. And he came back and his whole like countenance was just different. The light was back in his eyes. He started making decisions. He had been laid off and, you know, just kind of stuck. And I watched him over the next few weeks and I was like, wow, this really made a difference for him. I'm going to go, you know, because what else can I do? I've read the books. I've listened to the motivational talks. I've, you know, done all of that stuff and never felt any better. Nothing ever changed with how I felt in my family and with our family drama. And so I went and I scrounged up the money to go to the energy lady. And it was the turning moment of my life. You know, it just totally steered me in a whole new direction. And I almost cry. I almost cry thinking about it, talking about it. So that's how I got started and what I do. I had such great results over the years. And so about 11 years ago, I decided, you know, that I was going to do something. I wanted to do something meaningful with my life because my youngest was going to school and I didn't want to go out and just get whatever job. Like I knew that this was my time to decide, like, what am I doing for the rest of my life? And I wanted to do something that mattered. And I wanted to do something that was going to help bring awakening to people that were struggling just like I was.
And I love that you share your story with such humility and integrity. I know Devin has had some things to say about some energy healers that he's met in my circles past.
I can be skeptical. That's all.
It's okay.
No, I think people can, you know, people just are becoming more discerning. And that's actually why I love you so much, is because I've always felt that you're coming from just a very like real service place. And not from, you know, you're serving your clients.
So let me just kind of go back and finish my thought, only because Morgana and I have talked about this quite a bit lately, is that I'm good with the work. It's just, I think there are some people who don't necessarily do it with an integrity attached to it. Right. And so when I've seen that, I'm kind of quick to point it out. So that had nothing to do with anything that you've done, but it was just
Well, it's a good point though, because, you know, anytime, like I'm very, very particular in who I coach with, because I have had experiences before where I've actually gotten really physically sick by someone who's worked on me that didn't have a good intention and didn't. And when I say physically sick, I mean bronchitis. And I mean, it was horrible. I was out for weeks and I didn't even realize what had happened until a couple years later. You know, I'm like, oh my gosh, that person did not have good intentions. And I was so new to it that I didn't understand, you know, like what had happened. So you just have to be discerning and follow your heart and your gut on who you choose to coach with.
So you are already very effective with your clients, very effective in your business when I met you. What were you looking to break through back in, I think it was 2016?
I was thinking about that tonight, actually, as I was kind of prepping for a conversation. And one of the things that I remember, I was thinking, what were my breakthrough moments in that retreat? One thing, I wanted to just gain more confidence. I wanted to, well, like you said, I had gone to your house to learn how to do retreats. And then I thought, well, if I'm going to host a retreat, I better have gone to one to see what it's like. And I, to me, like, that's just an integrity thing. Like, how can I ask people to come if I haven't even done it myself? So that was a big motivator. And I trusted you, and I knew that you would, you know, attract a good group of people. And Bali, which scared me to death to travel there, but you know, it was amazing. You do it, and that in itself is an amazing inner growth situation. But
that's kind of the point of putting it way out there.
Yeah, I learned on that trip. I just had to take one step at a time, like one flight at a time. You know, I just kept breathing through it, and everything just kind of fell into place. All the people showed up that I needed, you know, to help me to each next thing. And that's a lot of how life is too, right? You just keep taking that next step. But I remember one of the most significant things for me in that retreat was we were working through like this idea of taking care of yourself. And what I had always learned was, well, you take care of yourself so that you can take care of others better. You learn that as a mother, you learn that as a coach, you learn that, you know, at church, whatever. But you said to me, you know, you can take care of yourself just because you're worth it. And that like changed, I'm going to cry. That changed everything for me. Like that was huge. And I, you know, and since then, all those years ago, like I've been able to share that with my clients and reframe like why we take care of ourselves. Yeah. Being able to take care of others is a nice after effect, but you know, taking care of ourselves because we know we're worth it makes it like 10 times, 100 times better.
So since our show is Crazy Sexy Midlife Love, how have you been applying this work to love in your life?
Well, one of the things that, you know, I look at with my clients is what are the beliefs that cause you to not love yourself, or what are the circumstances? And I, you know, I've looked at that a lot at my, you know, throughout my life, you know, as different things come up, whether it's triggers with my kids, whether it's triggers with my parents, whether it's triggers with my husband, you know, what is it that makes me feel like unlovable or not worthy of love? And I think it's just a question that we get to ask ourselves instead of blaming the other person for the way that they're showing up, right? And so I kind of thought about three things that a lot of times we take on the belief of is one, that we're not enough. Two, that in order to be loved, you need to prove yourself. And then the third thing that really impacts, I think, our ability to show up in relationships is our voice. And there are so many circumstances in, you know, throughout our childhood, whether you had a tumultuous childhood or a relatively peaceful childhood, we all have the experience of this separation from love. And, you know, and I did some coaching with Devin, and he really helped me understand this in a big way, especially like when it as in my marriage relationship, you know. And so for me, it's not that there's like been one moment of, oh, I get it. It's just been this like this journey over the years of recognizing, you know, when I don't feel loved, why don't I feel that way? And then doing the work to heal that. Where a lot of times, you know, I just used to live my life blaming everybody else. Well, if my mom was this way, or if my dad was that way, or if my sister was that way, If my husband would do this, you know, if my kids would act this way, then I would be okay and I'd be happy. And that's like, you just can't live life like that and really be happy. And so for me, the whole process of getting better at love is recognizing the times where you don't feel loved and then doing that inner work.
So with regards to kind of removing blocks and supporting people, because there's, my guess is there's going to be some folks who are going to watch this and say, well, I can't afford it, and it's hard to justify, and you know, those kinds of things that we do. In other words, like there's the answer, but it's like, well, okay, everybody else can do that, but I'm going to be over here. Is there sort of a like a little baby step that you might be able to offer somebody who A, is on the fence or maybe a little apprehensive?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I always start my clients with just pay attention to what you're thinking and what you're saying, you know, because a lot of our happiness starts with like what we're putting out into the world. So like when my kids were little, if they would call each other names, I'd be like, okay, you have to say 5 nice things about your sister because you said something mean to her, you know, just trying to get them to be conscious of what they're saying. And then, so just a lot of times people are just riddled with these thoughts that just go in loops, right? Like, I'm not enough. I'm having a bad hair day. Nothing ever works out for me. Like, thinking about like, what are you saying to yourself? And then noticing it and then just stopping and observing like, okay, yeah, I just totally ripped myself apart as I walked past the mirror. Right. And then I'll tell people, just put your hand on your heart chakra, just like kind of the center of your chest, and take a breath and just say, okay, I forgive myself. And putting your heart on your chest is it actually stimulates the oxytocin in your brain. Right. And it can calm down that head talk that's really the mean person inside of you, right? It calms that down and you can say, I forgive myself, and then say, I choose love. Mm-hmm. And just doing that, being conscious of what you're saying to yourself and to other people, forgiving yourself, making a conscious choice, telling your brain, we're doing something different now. Instead of beating yourself up, we're going to choose love. And you don't have to go out and do something. You know, it's just a state of being.
Oh. Well, no, I think that's, that's remarkable and it's true. And I think what I've certainly in my own life have gone through is that I'll have this idea in my head. It's not a good idea. Matter of fact, it's a bad idea. And it's probably a self-deprecating idea. And it has to do with not being worthy or lovable or whatever it is that happens to be the thing of the moment. And what ends up happening is when I don't talk about it, like articulate it out loud so I can hear myself, what ends up happening invariably is I start believing it. Like all of a sudden, my argument that's happening inside of my brain. Like, it's almost like this terrible lawyer that's like, I'm going to present all the reasons why you are this unlovable, unworthy person. And if I sit there and give that an audience, I eventually allow that debate to happen. And eventually I lose the debate. And the way to kind of undo that is, I think what you were just talking about is saying it out loud and getting this thing so you can really like, well, what is happening here? Oh, right, I'm getting myself caught up in a spiral that somehow makes sense on some weird level, even though if I were to say that out or bring that out to another person, they'd say, what are you talking about?
Right. Well, from a neurological standpoint, I think the two things you shared, what you do with your children and what you do with yourself, is kind of genius, because those loops are like a record groove. And the more we, you know, the more we go in them, the deeper they get. And what you do by stopping and changing your physical state and changing your words and changing your intention is you're scratching the record. And you're creating new neural pathways so that the self-deprecation grooves get more and more shallow. And they start to automatically trigger the response of, I am worthy, I forgive myself. Automatically, also with the children, you know, just changing the script, which is also really, really good training, according to Dr. John Gottman, when he's taking a look at marriages that last forever and marriages that don't. They have the same like core number of irreconcilable differences, whether they are happily ever after or heading to divorce court. They have the same number of irreconcilable differences. The difference in the relationship is the ratio of positive to negative. And you need that 5 to 1, just at, you know, at a minimum, you need the 5 to 1. You can have the drag out fight if the overwhelming state of your relationship is affectionate, the smiles, the bringing the coffee, the kissing, the stroking the hand, the just the kindness, creates a container that allows what my husband calls a frank exchange of ideas.
Because those exist. I also like the hand on the heart, just on my own spiritual level, is that you get to kind of feel that heart. I mean, this is the life force.
Yeah.
You're alive. You're here right now. And I think that's kind of just a remarkable thing to kind of take a time out from the busyness in our head to recognize that we're here. We're, you know, we're present. We're having this experience, which I think is just a great way to take a time out.
Well, what you're doing is you're bringing yourself back into yourself. Because all of those little experiences you had as kids that taught you or told you that you weren't enough, that you weren't worthy, and all of that, you know, disconnects you from your heart, right? It makes us go up into our head. You know, that's where the proving we learn. We have to prove ourselves, or we have to be the good girl or the good boy. We can't make a mistake. We're fear of getting in trouble or a consequence, like, you know, getting a spanking, as it was in my house, you know. And what the cool thing that I love about my work is that, you know, that tip is like the tip of the iceberg, right? It's actually a support tool that I give my clients after we go through the process in a session. We look at like, what is the biggest struggle that they're having right now? Like I do coach a lot of business people, but, you know, oftentimes the struggle has nothing to do with their business, and it had everything to do with, you know, some experience that happened as a kid that makes them not able to speak up, that there's fear of speaking their truth. So that's playing out, you know, when they're trying to give presentations, you know, in their business, or when they're trying to have a conversation with their spouse. And so all of those little experiences are tucked away as energy in the subconscious. And so when I help people get to the roots and release the energy of the experience. So you don't like forget it, but there's not the energetic charge to it anymore, so that, you know, you can walk into a family reunion, your mom can say the same annoying thing that she's said, you know, every year for 25 years or whatever.
You wouldn't relate to that at all, Devin.
I don't know what you're talking about. Please go on, Jen.
And it doesn't bother you. It's like, yeah, all right, that's mom, just letting her be her. I don't have an expectation. Like, that's her stuff, you know? And so when we have those times where we're at odds with each other, I always frame it as like our little kids coming out, our little selves, you know, inner child selves, coming out to battle it out on the playground, because that's what's been, some kind of wound has been triggered to make the, you know, the anger response or the, you know, slamming the door. I mean, I never do that, but I think I slammed the door like 3 nights ago after talking to my child. I was, you know, I'm like, I slammed the door and I'm like, oh, that was so my little 4-year-old just like totally feeling not enough, you know? And, but then you can sit with that or you call your coach and you're like, okay, I'm stuck in this. Like, I can't let it go. And then, you go through the process of identifying it, releasing it, and then your little child doesn't have the wound anymore.
Well, I think that's what is so fantastic about being a grown-up. I think, you know, for me, being a child was really, really hard because you really don't have any power and you don't really have any say, and you are at the whim of the adults. But, you know, as we get older, we get a lot more choice, we have a lot more tools.
Yeah. If you choose that,
If you choose that.
some people will go their whole lives never knowing that it could be different. And that's not a criticism or anything. Like, people, when you know that it can be different, you'll figure out a way to get, you'll find the money to do your work. You know, you'll find the time, you'll show up to your sessions, you'll do the exercises, like you'll do what it takes when you know that it works.
Sometimes the best deed you can do is live a good life. So that you can show that example of what's possible, that you can have a happy marriage, especially, you know, when so many of us come from like weird childhoods. But to show that you really that you can, a lot of stuff that we didn't see, these careers that we have, and moving to Europe for 6 months with your husband and your 16-year-old. I mean, what a great example to set for your clients of what they can make up for themselves.
Well, that's probably a big part of it. Yes, that you're sort of modeling the behavior that they're hoping to achieve, so they can kind of move forward and at least know that it's possible. Because you know, as we've been talking a little bit, is that our own many people's family histories come from a place where we weren't necessarily shown things to do in order to lead a good life. Do you know what I mean? We saw a lot of strife and difficulty, and that, you know, may have turned into a lot of anger, hostility, difficulty, challenges from our families of origin.
Yeah, I mean, I would never claim to be close to perfect or have it all figured out. Like, I always pay for coaching. Like, that is a commitment that I make to myself and to my clients. You know, that I always pay to have a coach. And I just, that's something that, you know, keeps me grounded. It keeps me a better mom. It keeps me showing up better in my marriage. And then, it really keeps me, you know, get like becoming a better coach, which is what I want to do, you know.
And I'm glad you brought that up because I was thinking as soon as I was talking about live a great life, model it for your clients. And then I was thinking of like kind of all the puffery, you know, the Instagram perfect lives that we see. And I think even more important is a good life of real people, like transparency, not having to be some other breed of human being to be loved and be worthy and create the life that you want to live.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that people, I don't know about you guys, but I feel like with the whole like lockdown with the pandemic, it really, what I saw is that it was like an excavation of emotional junk. Like it was coming up, whether you were ready for it, whether you were paying for help to get rid of it was coming and there's no stopping it. And the people that have been like, okay, I've got to like figure this out and I've got to overcome this. And I see that I've been living in this loop for so many years and I'm done because, wow, I want to make something. I want to matter. I want to make a difference in the world. So you've got those people, and then you've got others that just didn't, you know, don't know what to do with it, or still a little bit playing around in the mess. And that's okay, because everybody gets to their point where they have that moment, like, you know, like I did finally after a friend told me, you know, like, you need some help. And that moment is, we celebrate that for everyone, and trust also that everyone will get to their point of like, okay, I'm ready. And then the right people will be there for them, you know, and it's just the process of life.
Being ready is one of the greatest feelings in the world. I do honor seasons. Like, I think there are times where we are supposed to retreat. We have our winters where it's time to reevaluate, retreat, not go forth boldly. And then spring comes and we get the awakening of where the universe wants to take us. And then it heats up and gets bolder and bolder in summer. And then you have your harvest. And then you have your next lesson, and that's your next winter. And you want support and love for all of those seasons. You're not a bad person because it's winter. It's just winter.
Right. I love that. It's beautiful.
I kind of look at it from the standpoint that, you know, I think, or at least I was raised with this idea that if my job was to kind of go out into the world and be of service, and that service, you know, for lack of a better analogy, would be like, you know, the Boy Scout helping the little old lady across the street, right? And that's the goal. I'm going to help all the little old ladies across the street, without understanding that there are times where I need to be the Boy Scout, and there are times where I need to be the little old lady. Because part of being of service is, yes, I get to go extend the hand and be of help to someone else. And at the same time, when I need help, I have to show up so somebody else can be of service to me. And I think that's kind of the reciprocity of our human experience, is that how do we, you know, but nobody wants to be the sick one. Nobody wants to be hurt, and, you know, discomfort. You know, nobody wants to do that. Everybody wants to be the rock star. And I think I've found as I've gotten older, certainly, and this is probably not crazy or sexy, but I think it's just kind of important to get kind of...
Then I'm going to cover my ears.
Oh, right. No. I think we've been discussing that, where it's just sort of like, okay, this is the time where it's sort of like, it's my turn in the barrel. It's my turn under the fire. And it's just part of the experience that I think we kind of each go through. And I mean, I think certainly during this pandemic, I think more of us are going through it than not, which makes it a little bit more challenging.
I'm going to say, though, that when I when I meet a man that is willing to do his inner work, like, I can't think of anything more sexy than that.
Okay, well, then I need to talk about this more then. All right, great.
And
okay.
Then need to hear you, Devin.
Okay, as I was saying, let me tell you more about my inner work and my my self-reflective insights. But I mean, I do. I mean, I think as we get older, it becomes easier to just acknowledge that, because we start moving away from, and I think you brought this up earlier, Jen, was this sort of this notion where it's everybody else. It's somebody else who's doing it to me. And so, you know, I mean, I think part of the evolution is kind of recognizing that more often than not always, but, you know, sometimes I'm playing a part in that exchange where I feel I've been put upon. And once I started becoming more accountable to my own behavior, rather than just pointing fingers at other people, was the door of understanding, this sort of like larger understanding of how do we interact with each other. You know, like, I could certainly point at my parents and go, wow, you could have done that better. You know,
I'm sure my kids could say it many times.
But we learned so much from our parents' mistakes. There are so many really bad experiences that I haven't had to go through in this lifetime because I got to witness them do it.
Yes.
100%. Right. No, my father gave me really, I mean, for years, I wanted to be just like him. I didn't know it at the time. He gave me the blueprint of what it was that I didn't want to do. And then I could still keep all of the great stuff, right? I could still go, oh, well, he did these things really wonderfully. And he was a loving man. And here was this other side of things. It was like, okay, now I know what to avoid. But it took a while for me to get there.
So there are a couple of things that I want to squeeze in the last 2 seconds of our show.
Are we already at that 2 seconds point?
So it's going to be inappropriately large things to squeeze in. First is, if you were to like give us maybe two relationship tips for, you know, how you apply your work to a happy marriage, what would those be?
Well, do your inner work for sure. Like look at what pain is triggered and be really honest with yourself, you know? And then the other, like the more like tangible tip is just like observe without like judgment. Observe if you have an expectation that, you know, is that someone else can't live up to or don't know they're supposed to live up to. We all have those expectations in our relationships, right? But just stepping back and going into observation mode can really help you not go into that trigger, that fight or flight response when, you know, someone's not reacting the way they're hoping when someone's not reacting that way you hope they do, or if someone uses a tone of voice with you, or and I'm gonna share one more thing because I actually mm-hmm. learned this from Devin.
Oh, really?
I remember you asking me like, okay, what do you like when your husband comes home, what do you wish would happen? And I said, well, I wish he'd come home and hug me and give me a kiss and, you know, give me a little attention. And you said to me, if he doesn't do that, just know that you're still worth that. And so I've used that a lot, like just, you know, with my kids or with my husband, with my, you know, parent, like, you know, oh, well, he can't show up that way for me right now, but I'm worth him showing up that way. And that really dispels, you know, that getting all caught up in that pain, you know, from that feeling of not being enough when you were a kid.
Right.
That's huge.
Yeah, no, and you are absolutely worth it. And I'm right. I love
you
that.
You are right. You both have taught me so much over the years. Thank you. My marriage thanks you.
Totally off topic, but in 1 minute, what is a year of miracles?
Oh, a year of miracles is a program where I went live every day, Monday through Friday, during 2019, and I did 15 to 20 minute energy boosts. And each month has a different topic, and then each week had a topic, and then each day had a subtopic. But everybody can get like an like a little mini energy clearing every day with really powerful tools. And it's just that support, that daily support, you know.
Is that now a program people can buy?
Yes.
Online? Okay.
They can, it's on my website.
Excellent.
They can buy 1 month at a time or they can buy the whole year at a time, but it's theirs to keep once they purchase it.
So. Well, I think I dropped in on one or two of them and they were just super duper yummy. So yay you. Okay. So thank you. Oh, it was just like so wonderful just to get to see you and catch up, Jen. And include our audience because you also brought such great stuff. And thank you for the hand on the heart exercise. That if you're listening, you know, listen to the replay if you need a refresher, because I think that was really powerful. And I think we are coming to the conclusion of Crazy Sexy Midlife Love Radio. For today, the St. Patty's Day edition, going all green. And join us next week. We're here every Wednesday, 5 p.m. Pacific time. It's, I guess, an hour earlier for the rest of the planet because we've done daylight savings time, which is the best.
Right.
And, and I should have mentioned this at the top of the show, but I always forget. Go to crazysexymidlifelove.com to see our first 11 weddings. Remember, we're getting married 100 times in 100 countries. There's this really fun 3-minute video of our first 11 weddings. And while you're there, download Devin's ebook, his free ebook, Women Are Smarter Than Men and Other Secrets Every Marriage-Minded Woman Needs to Know. A lot of the stuff that Jen paid for is free in that book. Get it now and join our Crazy Sexy Midlife Love family. And we will see you again next week. Mwah!
Thank you for listening to Crazy Sexy Midlife Love. Please sign up to join our free love family at crazysexymidlifelove.com. To get alerts to live shows, call in and ask questions, or just listen in. And ladies, don't forget to download Devin's free ebook, Women Are Smarter Than Men and Other Secrets Marriage-Minded Women Need to Know. Also available at crazysexymidlifelove.com.